A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 468. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Intergalactic. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, indeed we are. We are going to a Sky TV show from quite recent, 2021. There were 8 45-minute episodes. It is a planet-hopping science fiction drama about a group of escaped prisoners who go on the run. And that's our setup in a nutshell, Brian.
Yes, indeed. It's a quite glossy, modern space science fiction show with lots of action and adventure and lots of tension between the characters.
There is indeed, which we will talk about as we go along.
Absolutely. So let's get into the setup. The year is 2143 and Earth has been ravaged by the effects of climate change, with climate damage, it sounds like, still happening on Earth and elsewhere. And Earth and other planets are under the rule of the Commonwealth government, which is apparently democratic and benign, but not everyone seems to agree that it's so benign and that it's really democratic either.
No, this is very true. On this Commonwealth on Earth, a young Commonwealth police officer is framed for a crime that she did not commit and then sentenced to off-world imprisonment and dispatched on a prison transport spaceship. Now, before she or her mother back on Earth can clear her name, the other prisoners on board stage an escape and seize control of this transport ship. And we are off. They are on the run, hopping from one colonized planet to another, all the while searching for what will be their ultimate destination, the elusive utopian free world of Arcadia. That's where they're trying to get to. And we're sort of away already, Brian.
Yes, with these prisoners running this prison ship that they've taken over. So we have lots of characters here. I'll start with Ash Harper, played by Savannah Stain. She is a committed believer in the Commonwealth. She is a police officer, sometimes called the Sky Cop, and she's a pilot, a very good pilot. And she is framed for stealing a valuable power source and sentenced to this off-world prison where she ends up on this prison ship with the others.
Indeed. Now, I mentioned her mother is trying to clear her name. That is the rather sinisterly titled Arch-Marshal Rebecca Harper, played by Parminder Nagra from Bend It Like Beckham. She is Ash's mother, but she's also the local head of security for the Commonwealth on Earth. She is fighting to clear her daughter's name and bring her home. But she's, interestingly, as the show progresses, Rebecca is starting to have her own doubts about the integrity of the government that she works for. As you said in your introduction, Brian, not everybody seems to agree that the Commonwealth is all it's cracked up to be.
That's right. And we start hearing more and more questions about the Commonwealth and what it's really like. Tula Quick, played by Sharon Duncan Hempster, is the leader of the escape, the convict escape, and is sort of leading this group and this mission to find Arcadia. She is very determined and somewhat volatile, very angry, and is an interesting leader because she is providing leadership but also lashing out quite a bit.
And she is with her daughter, Genevieve Quick, or Jenny, played by Diani Samba Banza, She is, as I say, Tula's daughter. Now, Jenny or Genevieve has got these cybernetic enhancements in the form of, they're like tentacles in her dreadlocked hair, which she can control and use as a weapon. They can extend and grab people and manipulate things and be used as a weapon. I'm going to say that Jenny has a somewhat strange and complicated relationship with her mother, which things will be explored further as the series progresses. At first, she just seems to be doing what her mother tells her to do, but there's more to her than that.
Yes, we definitely get some growth with some of the characters, and certainly with Genevieve, we do. Candy Scove King, played by Eleanor Tomlinson, is from the planet Oria and is either an alien or, I think more likely, genetically modified human, and owes a debt to Tula and is smuggling something illegal within her body. And she has a forked tongue and skin marking that show how she is different from typical humans. And we see that she has an addiction and a drug dependency as time goes on. So she's a character with some interesting things going on. We saw Tomlinson playing the lead in the BBC adaptation of War of the Worlds, the recent one that we covered.
And playing a much different character here.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Verona Flores is the sort of hacker on board the ship. She's a cyber hacker. She was one of the convicts. She's in the escape. She is played by Imogen Daines. You've got to have a computer tech expert on board, I guess, and she fulfills that role. Another quite sort of hard-nosed character who softens slightly as the series progresses and we get to know a bit more about her.
Yes, and she has a history with Ash Harper, so we have lots of tension based on those things. Drew Buchanan, played by Thomas Turgoose, is a young prison guard who is caught up in the escape and ends up sort of working with the new crew and gradually earning some level of trust from some of them.
Yes, often the calming and most level-headed voice amongst the crew, it seems.
In some cases, yes. The one who is least inclined to violence, I think.
Very much so.
But also is not always the most competent of the people there. So it's an interesting spanner in the works, as it were.
Now we come to Dr. Emma Greaves, played by Natasha O'Keefe, the most wanted person in the Commonwealth, it seems. She is, first of all, introduced to us as a mysteriously masked, wearing a very sort of complicated breathing apparatus mask that's some sort of restraint while she's a prisoner on board this ship. We will learn more about her backstory and why she is so wanted by the Commonwealth as the series progresses. But at first, she is a mystery trapped behind this strange restraint head mask breathing thing.
Yes, there are lots of layers to uncover that we learn about through the course of the show. Echo Nantu Rose, played by Oliver Coopersmith, is a space pirate who joins the crew in the second episode after the prison break has already happened. He is a cocky pilot who pilots the ship sometimes when Ash isn't flying the ship, and brings his own set of skills to things.
So that's basically the crew members. We'll mention one more character, Dr. Benedict Lee, the Commonwealth leader, who will seemingly stop at nothing to restore order and get the convicts, particularly to get Dr. Greaves back into custody. Benedict Lee, played by Craig Parkinson from Line of Duty, he is, in a way, our most obvious villain of the piece as this leader of the Commonwealth. And, of course, is the one most in conflict with Rebecca, perhaps, trying to get her daughter back, and with the crew members who have got Dr. Greaves on board their ship.
Yes, we see Dr. Lee and Rebecca Harper together, and where Rebecca Harper clearly is corrupt, she may be leaning towards doing some things that are compassionate and are maybe even the right choices, where that's not the case with Dr. Benedict Lee. I will note that our group of escaped convicts on the ship are all women, and we have these two men who are in the bunch there as well, but it's definitely meant to be a female-driven show, which it very much is, and that gives you some interesting things that we'll talk about as we go.
Okay, well, let's give you some more details of the plot as we journey out into space with the crew of the Hemlock transport ship. That's the name of the ship, the Hemlock. They've taken control. They have killed off most of the guards and pilots, perhaps slightly foolishly, which means they have to force Ash Harper to pilot the ship with the assistance of Drew Buchanan, to fly them through a hyperspace jump and away from their pursuers. That happens all pretty much in the first episode.
Yeah, that's right. And they don't really know what to make of the mysterious Dr. Greaves when she removes her mask and seems to be quite strange as a person even without it. And she tells them that she has the coordinates or can calculate the coordinates to the free planet of Arcadia. They had already tried to get to the planet of Arcadia, and their attempt to get the coordinates failed. So she becomes key to that. And we have this sort of ragtag crew, this group of conflicted people who are all convicts trying to get away, in conflict with each other on the Hemlock, jumping from planet to planet, collecting supplies and fuel and so on. And slowly we learn more about the past history of the characters on board, and they learn more about each other as well.
And of course, we've got a developing story back on Earth where Archmarshal Harper has found evidence that clears her daughter's name. But what she discovers in her investigation not only clears Ash, but also casts some doubts on the Commonwealth, its leadership, and its dependence on a dwindling supply of the mysterious power source New Aurum, which has powered the Commonwealth up until this point. And she manages to then get in contact with her daughter on board the Hemlock. But the message is not, come home, I've cleared your name. The message is a new mission for Ash. Bring back Dr. Greaves at any cost. And Ash is now sort of working often against the wishes of her fellow sort of crewmates of the Hemlock as she's trying to bring back Dr. Greaves to the Commonwealth, or at least that's her initial mission, it seems.
That's right. Ash Harper is the central character of the show, and whether she believes in the common world and is actually genuinely working with them, or believes in this group of freedom fighter convicts and what they believe in, that's not always clear. Deliberately so. So you get some mysterious things there because we don't always know exactly what Ash is doing and who she is going to support and work for.
Indeed.
So we should get into our production notes. Intergalactic was created for Sky Television by Julie Geary, who wrote or co-wrote the first six of the eight episodes. Geary had written several big budget TV shows, but this was the first time she was getting into science fiction, apart from one episode of the children's show My Parents Are Aliens. But it was her first time creating a science fiction show and really getting into the genre in a bigger way. Her co-writers were Laura Grace, Archie Maddox, Nick Vincent Murphy, and Ben Schiffer.
And the series was directed by two directors, Kieran Hawkes and China Mu Young. The sets we know were built in Manchester for all the interior shooting, and particularly for the interior of the Hemlock spaceship. They apparently built quite a bit of that spaceship in Manchester. And so the cast and crew were working there to shoot shoot all the interior shots. And then for the location work, they all got to go to Spain, where they found some impressive places to film, Brian.
Yes, the rather impressive City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia, which has some futuristic architecture and all sorts of interesting things there, becomes, you know, sort of just right for the common world buildings. And that was quite effective. It was used there. The Tabernas Desert in Spain was used for a variety of different planets with color filtering and things like that in place to make them look different from each other. And they filmed in the cities of Almeria and Madrid.
Now, obviously, with a show like this, you're going to have an awful lot of green screen work and a lot of digital VFX to be added afterwards. And we know that that was all handled by two companies for the production team, Egg VFX and Milk VFX, strangely enough. But they did all the digital work. And then we've got music for the series composed by Edmund Butt as well. Quite sort of dramatic music to suit the intense and high tension storylines.
Yes, that's right. Intergalactic was first broadcast on Sky TV with all 8 episodes on April 30th, 2021.
Yeah, and they dropped all the episodes in one go. That always varies from company to company how they do that, doesn't it?
Yes.
I should mention it was also shown in North America, initially on Peacock and then on the Sci-Fi Channel later on. So yeah, it did get a North American broadcast as well.
Yeah, so a mix of streaming releases and broadcast releases.
Let's talk about availability and how you can watch this series. Here in Region 2, it's fairly straightforward. There's a DVD release from 2021, the same year it came out. Just the 8 episodes, no bonus features, rather strangely, to me at least. Only a tenner for that DVD at the moment. But of course, if you've got a Sky TV or a Now TV subscription over here, you can watch this show as part of your subscription. And that's where I've been watching it, on Sky TV, or rather on Now TV. And you can also track down the DVD to rent it, because it is available apparently on the cinemaparadiso.co.uk site. So quite easy to watch either streaming or on physical media over here in Region 2. Across the pond, Brian?
In Region 1, there is no release that I'm aware of, but the imported discs are available on Amazon. So the DVDs I've seen for $21 US and $34 Canadian. The Blu-ray is actually a little bit cheaper, $19 US and $30 Canadian. So it's those imported Blu-rays that I've been looking at.
Oh, okay, nice.
So that just about wraps up the first half of our discussion about Intergalactic. Next time, we'll talk a bit more about the adventures of the crew and the characters and things that happen on various planets with them.
We will. We will also mention some other shows that it has been compared to and perhaps reminds us of, one show in particular. And we will talk about why Intergalactic only got the one series of 8 episodes. There's some details about that to come next time.
Yes, indeed. Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group and join us there. And we are on Instagram and Threads. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
We are also members of the Voice of Geeks Network, which you can find at VogueNetwork.com. Head there for podcasts, for gaming content, streaming, all sorts of stuff going on at the Voice of Geeks, VogueNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.